girl. It probably sucks too. So I'm just saying, I'm surprised there aren't more teenagers who just wake up and like, well, today's the day I kill everyone. You know, I felt that way every day when I was a teenager. I mean, every single day I was like, go to school, kill everyone I know. Go to school, kill everyone I know. Well, maybe tomorrow. That was it, man. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's go in a different direction.
let's go in a new direction.
Time for a penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis.
Oh, that was like a triple L.U.
Saying my troubles start melting away.
Oh, God.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
This comes to us from New Zealand. Masked thieves armed with a chisel stole the penis of a wooden Maori figure, or tiki, at the entrance to a public library in northern New Zealand. Security cameras captured pictures of three masked men using the chisel to remove the tiki's penis. The figurine is one of two indigenous designs that stand on posts around the entrance to the library in this town. A Carver-Kerry strongman said the theft was had damaged the mana or pride of the city. A strongman said he would begin work immediately on carving what should restore the tiki to its original state. Police said they're at a loss of words to explain the theft, particularly as the nearby statue of the god of the sea was left better.
Who steals tiki penises? Never mind, I don't care.
Mounts the newest thing.
For the kids.
This comes to us from Chicago. A 44-year-old married man was lured in 2003 by the promise of a longer and a thicker penis. Thousands of dollars of multiple surgeries later, the man had something that didn't even resemble a penis in his attorney. It's absolutely grotesque. Dozens of Chicago men have the same shrunken deformities.
It didn't even resemble a penis.
And not only that, it's shrunken?
What did it resemble, do you suppose? A wearing blender?
Yeah.
A pelican?
Something sized from tiki. It's one of the state's first...
the Statue of Liberty.
...requests against a doctor for a pattern of practice showing incapability or incompetence to practice.
A bright red frisbee.
Apparently, this doctor has a track record of a lot of horrendous acts. The attorney, Robert Sklosky, whose law office recently won $454,000 against the lawyer on behalf of a 57-year-old Chicago man whose small intestine was punctured while fat was drained from his abdomen. So it could be injected into his private parts. Berman said he stands by every one of the thousands of penis procedures he's estimated to have done since...
He stands by them?
Since 1981. There are a lot of guys out there, apparently, have this done.
Sort of a time bomb in your
pants. He says there are critics who say he's selling fantasies to those with self-esteem issues and acknowledges the majority of his patients have normal-sized penises. Berman, who is now 80, was once a well-respected heart surgeon until a 1981 car accident limited his mobility and began practice on penises exclusively.
That's what you want. It's a doctor who can't move all that well working on that part of your anatomy.
So they were taking fat out of his stomach and putting it in the penis?
Yes.
Sure.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And then also some puncturing and leaking.
Take a look
Thank you. I had no graceful way out of that.
My troubles start melting away.
You know, in none of these stories does anybody's troubles just melt away. That never happens.
Everything is going my way.
That's, Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yes, a little information for you on the grinding issue.
Yeah.
As unpleasant as it is, everyone had those moments in mid-school. However, having a girlfriend that likes to go out and dance after a few drinks, you know, it just, you don't have to move as much.
What?
There's less actual movement when you're dancing if you are just grinding at, say, a McFadden's or a Barracuda after quite a few drinks.
I don't understand. Oh, are you saying that if you have a few drinks, the man doesn't wave?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So it's not the mid-school awkwardness as it were.
Sarah is demonstrating.
No,
what
but I'm trying to understand this grinding. Okay. So.
Okay.
Is it? Are you?
Yes, sir.
Are the man and the woman?
Is the front side of
moving
you
in unison, or are they
colliding?
Going against each other.
Okay, Sarah. Here's what she just did.
Oh my!
This is what Sarah just did. She said, now, in the grind dancing, are the man and woman moving in unison, or is it more like, and then she moved one hand against the other as though she was trying to wax a stubborn spot off a car?
I believe it depends on the couple. I've actually seen it both ways, and I've actually kind of wondered what's
going on. Is it one person sort of slamming into the other person?
Yes, at times, and other times I've seen it where the people are moving together.
As though they are joined?
Intimately enjoined.
Jesus Christ. All right, thank you, Michael. We should make sure this happens at our next listener party.
We could have a grinding contest.
Totally.
Oh, awesome.
We should have like a little portion of the floor that's accorded to, for grinding only.
CBS presents.
For grinders only. let's see. Aaron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, man.
Is this Aaron the Geek?
Yeah.
You never sound like you. Hold on a second.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
This story is about you and Jen grinding. Rick is going to hang up on you.
Is this about
Sarah's buttocks?
No, it's not about Sarah's buttocks either.
Okay, all right.
No, sure. I was that loser on my first and almost last date entire life.
Okay.
Seventh grade Valentine dance. I had a huge crush on. This was her real. Her real name was Ruby Tuesday. Tuesday was her middle name, so her real name was Ruby Tuesday.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And My first slow dance ever was that terrible song, Lady in Red.
How does one dance to that?
And Ruby was dressed in red. It was perfect.
Did you sing it to her as you were dancing? Did you whisper it in her ear?
No, I didn't.
Did you pull out your smooth Latin moves on her?
No, there were no smooth Latin moves at the time. Unfortunately, I was dancing during the height of the baggy Bugle Boy pants.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no resistance to them. And since this would have been about seventh grade, and I was probably 4'10", and she was already 6'2".
Oh, yeah, and that thing where nature positions your eyes right at boob level?
Yeah. And she had a horrendous nickname that I won't repeat on the air that described her well.
Uh-huh. Hootie McBoob?
Yeah. To her credit, she was really nice when we danced.
Booby Tuesday.
But then as she walked back, and I tried to hide and walk, back towards her, I glanced over and she was whispering to her friends, and they all looked over and pointed and giggled.
Then they pointed at
your parachute pants?
Were they pointing at your anatomy?
Yeah, it was as if my waist was camping.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, sir. There you go, Aaron, ladies and gentlemen. Camping. Rick, who knew that this program would turn out this way today? You know, every day is an adventure here. Sometimes it's just 2 hours of corpse discussion. Rick, I recall in high school a guy in my class coming over as a woman, asking me if I wanted to dance. I said yes. And then he laughed and said, "Are you kidding? Who would possibly dance with you?"
Aw.
As he turned around, I kicked him in the ass as hard as I could in front of his friends. How's that for handling rejection? God
damn. Man, there was this girl when I was younger, Michelle Vandenberg. She was.
Let's try to use as many full names as possible on the air.
You know what? That's right.
What was her address?
She made my life a living hell. She
Screw
was
her.
So mean to me.
Okay,
so I had the actual thing that happens in the movies where I looked long and hard for a beautiful dress to wear to this dance. She wore the exact same one.
Oh.
The exact same dress. And she came up to me and was following me around on it like, "Oh, too bad you don't look as good as I do in that dress,
Sarah." Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. This woman was... I still, like, if I saw her, I'd probably punch her in the face.
By the way, no one bother her. Do not stalk whatever that girl's name was. Leave her alone.
I've looked for her. I haven't been able to find her.
You are a bad person.
You don't even know what this girl did to
me.
She was an evil, evil person.
No, I'm just saying. You got a lot of... I'm not saying you're a bad person. That's the wrong way to put it. Because I do know everybody's gone to school with that person who was just pitch
black
evil.
Everyone has that one person that they can't let go of who, like, made their life living hell. That's mine.
But you got to move on. You gotta move on.
There are other people waiting for the same chance.
You want to move on or find her and send her that photo that you got taken yesterday of you in the skull dress.
Okay.
Which I really...
Maybe she'll send me one of her wearing the exact same dress.
But fat.
Oh, fingers crossed. I don't even remember if that's her real life.
Body a wreck from years of breastfeeding.
Oh.
Let's see. Rick. The part of crossing the gym to ask a girl to dance is that when the whole group of girls sees you coming, you can tell that each and every one of them is praying to God that you're not going to be asking her. You can see it all on their faces as time slows down, but you still have like 30 feet to go. Oh, so true. God damn.
Yeah, and if you think they're heading for one of your girlfriends, you can just quickly get up and run to the bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Oh, man. Let's see. I'm not gonna read any of this. When I was a junior in high school, there was a dance that was called the Freak. Is that the same thing the kids are talking about now? I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. You just faced each other. I don't want to use this phrase. Let's see. Rick, dude, did you ever take the long walk across the dance floor after you've gotten up the nerve to ask a girl to dance, only to have her give you the look and then say no? You walk over and ask her to dance. She looks you in the eyes and glances downward and slowly looks you over from your feet up to your eyes. Here's the thing about these emails. These emails are all very detailed, as though everybody has this moment permanently etched into their head for all time. Then she says, no thanks, and you have to walk back across the floor after having been turned down. Ugh. Good God Almighty. God, no wonder we're all so effed up. And there's no wonder we all... No wonder everybody...
I'm still mad at a girl from 8th grade.
Seriously. God, no wonder that somebody, everybody associated with this program is drunk all the time. All right. Well, should we break?
Yeah.
I meant to play this Weird Al song. I had literally five different Weird Al songs I wanted to play today. I had this grand scheme that I was going to do one an hour. That didn't really happen. All right. Well, let's break. We'll come back. We might as well just break and come back and do a little more news and then we'll have Peter Carlin. All right. 5037. Ah. Did you pick this?
No.
This is, you know what it is? This is the hand of God.
It is. He is watching over us today.
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this.
The Rick Emerson Show.
All right, here we go.
On AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Also traumatized on the show. All right. Rick, this email says, one advantage to preferring people of the same gender as oneself is that it is a little easier. Says, well, should I read this? Well, this is from Dan from New Zealand.
Two, one. Okay,
well,
now
there we go. I just tore my Dominic's copy in half.
Really?
Why? Well, I guess. That's what he says. I mean, maybe he's just surmising it. Maybe he's just supposing. Well, okay. Well, New Zealanders, you know. Let's talk about my... You can't see this, but...
He just ripped entirely half. He's trying to... Squish it together.
You know, I do my thing of shuffling, rifling the paper. I actually just tore this copy point right in half. Well, come to Dominic's a game.
Pro. If you want to read the first half of the sentence, I'll finish the second half for you.
Right.
Dominic wants to pack their
bar. I think those are the notes from the AE. Read something lower.
Come to Dominic's to watch.
All the college and NFL games on Saturday and...
Sunday. ESPN game day.
NFL Sunday ticket. They have any game...
You might want to see on 12...
flat screen HD TVs.
Breakfast special, $1.95 every...
Saturday and Sunday.
Happy hour menu all day, sun.
Day.
15 beers on tap.
Or professional. You can find it. This makes no sense. Sorry about that. Well, there you go. Find out the rest, won't you? Yourself by going to Dominic's. They're on the Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard by G.I. Joe's. Dominic's, not your ordinary bar sports.
When it comes to talk radio in Portland, you've grown used to having only two choices. Tedious right-wing whack jobs and bitter left-wing hippies. Their kind of radio is pointless and bad for the soul. Instead, take a deep breath, relax, and listen to something you'll actually enjoy. AM 970 gives you something worth its weight in gold. Pure, unfiltered entertainment. Lock it in and spread the word. This is AM 970 Solid State Radio.
When looking at granite countertops or travertine tile, getting the lowest price doesn't always translate to getting the highest quality product. Those ultra-low price granite countertops tend to give a lackluster look, as if a monkey manufactured them. At West Coast Granite and Flooring, their prices continue to be as competitive as any granite and flooring company in Portland, while also being able to provide durable, long-lasting granite countertops and travertine tiling that you'll enjoy for years to come. West Coast Granite and Flooring has a wide selection of prefabricated granite countertops priced 45% less than fabricated ones, and flooring that starts at $1.20 per square foot. You should also come check out their showroom, where they have 8x2 granite countertops that start at $99. West Coast Granite and Flooring is located at 7124 Southeast 92nd Avenue. Just take I-205 to the Southeast Foster exit and turn left onto 92nd, or call 503-252-9000 for more information. West Coast Granite and Flooring. No monkeys work here.
On September 30th, Pat's Lubin and Portland's Rose City Rollers present the championship bout for the 2006 season. Portland's Rose City Rollers battling out in Hall D at the Expo Center for their final bout, the Heartless Heathers versus the Guns N' Rollers, and the Breakneck Bettys versus the High Rollers. September 30th, the Rose City Rollers Championship bout at the Expo Center. Doors open at 5 p.m. The action starts at 6. Tickets at any Tickets West location or online at rosecityrollers.com or call 1-800-992-8499. Proudly sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon and Portland's Rose City Rollers. All ages welcome.
Frozen Peas has been a respected member of the community for decades. She's committed to support the growth of our children, and she's effective at lowering bad cholesterol by as much as 36%. Frozen Peas is all of these things and so much more. So this midterm election, vote for the best candidate for the job. Vote Frozen Peas for Senate. This message paid for by friends of Frozen Peas.
If you're not voting, then who are you electing? To learn more, visit payattention.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Man, it's been forever since we went camping.
Yeah, about this time last year. Can't wait to get on those ATVs.
Oh, yeah, splashing through the mud, tackling the creeks.
Sled Polaris has got that factory-authorized clearance.
Oh, I know. A free Polaris winch and really low payments?
Rebates of up to $500 on the Sportsman ATVs and Rangers. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, how long have we been camping outside this dealership anyway?
Come on, man. You want to be the first one in, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. Hope they got donuts.
The Polaris Factory Authorized Clearance. Get down to Columbia River Polaris before September 30th. Polaris, the world's toughest ATV. Offer valid at Columbia River Polaris on select models and subject to availability. Rebates and winch offer not available on all models. Winch does not include installation. See Columbia River Polaris for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders ages 16 and older. Polaris youth models are for those aged 6 to 15. Always wear a helmet. For safety and training, see Columbia River Polaris or call 800-342-3764.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's Muy Grande.
Cut! These are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
Oh, my fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better, but let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut. And that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
This hour of the Rick Emerson Show brought to you by CD Game Exchange with 5 locations in Portland. They buy, they sell, they trade. CD Game Exchange.
When looking at granite countertops or travertine tile, getting the lowest price doesn't always translate to getting the highest quality product. Those ultra-low priced granite countertops tend to give off a cheap, lackluster look, as if setting anything on it will cause it to break like glass. At West Coast Granite and Flooring, their prices continue to be as competitive as any granite and flooring company in Portland, while also being able to provide durable, long-lasting granite countertops and travertine tiling that you'll enjoy for years to come. West Coast Granite and Flooring has a wide selection of prefabricated laminated granite countertops priced 45% less than most local publicators. And flooring that starts at $1.20 per square foot. You should also come check out their showroom, where they have 8x2 granite countertops that start at $99. West Coast Granite and Flooring is located at 7124 Southeast 92nd Avenue. Just take I-205 to the Southeast Foster exit and turn left onto 92nd. Or call 503-252-9000 for more information. That's 503-252-9000. West Coast Granite and Flooring. The only thing that'll break is their prices.
Tonight, Miami's deadliest gang has the world's newest weapon.
It's a gun that shoots around the corner.
These are weapons for warfare. New CSI Miami, CBS Tonight.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's muy grande.
Cut! These are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
Oh, my fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better. But let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut, and that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Alan Gabrowski, the AE for Dominic's, just sent me a new copy of Dominic's copy. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's talk about the Super Digital, my friend. The washing paper. Super Digital, if you are a musician, and of course, by dint of listening to talk radio, the odds are you probably have a song or guy in the hallway about this. You probably are. And a lot of people who listen to talk radio do so because they get burned out on music radio. They get burned on the same old thing, especially if you're in a band, if you're a musician. And you want to hear the same crap over and over again. So that's why you end up listening to talk radio. And here you are. So let's talk about Super Digital. They've been making music technology obey since 1987. What's that mean? Well, it means that if you got a song you want to record, or your band wants to record a demo or an EP or a full album for that matter, it means they can help you understand all of the choices that there are when it comes to recording something. You know, there's a million different kinds of microphones and drum placement, and what kind of effects do you want on the guitars, and what kind of pedal do you want to use, and what kind of room are you going to record, and how do you mix it, how do you master it. All of that stuff, which can just be overwhelming, they can help you unravel all of that. Or if you kind of got a handle on what you want to do already and want to outfit a home studio, they can do it as well. Everything from the Pro Tools software to the headphones, they can hook you up with it. So Super Digital is your one-stop solution for all of this. And of course, you want to get the CDs made as well. They got the Starving Musician special. Tell them you heard it here. You can get 1,000 CDs for just $11.49. It's basically like $1.19 each. So you tell them you heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. Call them right now while you're thinking about it. Don't wait. It's 503-228-2222. Or go to superdigital.com. Musician-owned, musician-operated, making music technology obey since 1987. Super Digital.
Miami's most dangerous gang has the world's newest weapon.
Gun that shoots around the corner.
It's a fancy way for us to kill each other.
These are weapons for warfare. Hang on.
Someone ran me off the road to stall the investigation.
I want birds in the air.
Because you won't believe how much damage one gun can do.
They're into everything criminal. Girls, dope.
That's our territory. Not anymore, my friend.
It's a new CSI Miami, and it's only on CBS Tonight.
You're listening to AM 970, KCMD, AM Portland. Solid State Radio.
Too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Really, really white and nerdy.
I'm classier than my
my team. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have a Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My mind space pace, I'll totally pimp out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a wizard, mind sweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I'll set the place ablaze. There's no killer rap I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do better calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. R.I.C.
Roll on, my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Can't you see I'm white and nerdy?
Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
How'd I get so white and nerdy? I've been browsing, inspecting, X-Men, comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you R-O-T-F-L-O-L. I've got a business doing website. Right, well, friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. In my night with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me. Getting freaky.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in a V club and Glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. Trolling, they're laughing. They're rolling their eyes because I'm so white and nerdy.
Just because I'm white and nerdy.
Just because I'm white and nerdy.
All because I'm white and nerdy.
Holy cow, I'm white and nerdy. I want to bowl with the gangsters. I'm white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A gaggle of gorgeous moms from across South Florida lined up in Miami for a chance at cash prizes, a modeling interview, and the title, Hottest Mom in America. Some wore classy, elegant dresses, while others looked to embrace a brass pole.
Because that's what you need for that touch of sophistication.
But they all shared one sultry goal, to become the hottest mom in America.
They all shared one sultry goal.
With their cell, from the cell and their kids. To audition, the moms tell the camera why they think they should win and briefly display any showbiz talents like singing, dancing. The computer takes stills of the contestants, which are later displayed on the show's website. Hottest mom in America.
Imagine having a mother who takes place in the hottest mom contest.
It's like something it sounds like Lindsay Lohan's mom would do.
Seriously.
That's hottestmominamerica.com.
Okay.
For further interviews, the field will be narrowed to 50, then 10, then 5. Some of the ladies see it as a chance to begin a career in TV, but most are just having fun with it. The winner will get $25,000 plus a $25,000 scholarship for her child or split among her children. She'll also get interviews with the modeling agency, some injectable anti-wrinkle gel for a year.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And,
and we're done.
Motherhood is the hardest job. Why not make money at it? Oh,
okay. Boy, you know who else is like that? It's Justin Timberlake's mom. I saw a picture of her the other day. And she's like the bad, overly tight, like red leather pants and so forth, and like the brassy dyed hairs. It's a whole lot of ugly with her.
Let's do a bush watch.
Here's your bush watch for whatever the hell for Monday, right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, "That's my bush." Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my bush.
Well, George Michael took a swipe at President Bush as he returned to the stage after 15 years. The careless whisper singer wowed thousands of fans at Barcelona's Hall Joan Gent City.
Stadium over the weekend as he kicked off his 25 live European tour.
I thought he wasn't performing again. That was that George Michael's thing, and I'm never going to sing again.
Yeah, he retired, remember?
Okay. Never retired. Just once. Hello, what are you doing over there?
I don't know. Some horrible pornographic pop-up just popped up.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. I just look over and it said Hot Blonde Live XXX Next Show.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, because I was just going to use a random window to go to my Blogger, and then I started typing, and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't put my password on some random window that has naked girls.
What were you typing that made that pop up?
It was just on there. It must have come up from one of the websites.
Will it work for anyone?
Yeah. What was the exact address?
Okay, I'm sorry.
George Michael treated the crowd to his biggest solo and Wham hits. Controversial 2002 track Shoot the Dog, which blasts George Bush. He received the loudest cheer. As he sang the tune, an enormous balloon depicting a caricature of George Bush was released from the stage. George then went on to... To unzip the blown-up figure's trousers to reveal a British bulldog wrapped in the Union Jack nuzzling on Bush's groin.
Now, I never thought I would hear that phrase.
Okay.
Not only on George Bush's groin.
Uh-huh.
That's the phrase of the day.
The legendary star entertained the fans with classic hits like Father Figure and Too Funky. The 43-year-old, who has been dogged with drug and sex claims in recent months, said he was looking forward to singing to a live audience again. I haven't forgot what it feels like, and I'm really excited.
Excellent. All right. So no one who retires ever really stays retired. All right. There you go. That's your Bush watch from
Monday. He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Well, all right, then. Let's do a Britney watch.
I think I did it again.
Pup babe Britney Spears has been the subject of many desperate-to-be skinny tales over this past week. Last week, NW Magazine reported that the pop princess was dying to have her old body back and requested a tummy tuck surgery to be scheduled after giving birth. A tummy tuck, as we know, is a cosmetic surgery procedure to reshape and firm the abdomen. It involves the removal of excess skin and fat from the middle and lower abdomen in order to tighten the muscle of the abdominal wall.
Yeah, but nothing can give you... I mean, here's the thing is that nothing can get rid of those stretch marks, right? I mean, it's... I don't really know, but is if you got... I mean, as I understand it, in pregnancy stretch marks, they don't ever go away.
I think you can, like, put creams and stuff on them, but I think they're there to stay.
What cream gets rid of a stretch mark,
though? I thought it was, like... I don't know.
Isn't a stretch mark... I know we're entering into breastfeeding territory again here, but
we're getting close to Oprah's.
But I mean, I don't know. I say taking my life in my hands. I don't know what causes a stretch mark.
Stretching.
Thank you. I think I could have sussed that part out. But what is the physiological thing that's happening when there's a stretch mark?
When I think that your body grows too fast for your skin to grow with it. Like, if you put on a lot of weight really quickly?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I know what cause... I guess what I'm saying is when I see a stretch mark... When you see a stretch mark, seeing you're pregnant... Because, like, especially you go to the Lloyd Center, and there's always some woman who's had a lot of kids, and she's wearing a half shirt. And so you get a lot of chances to sort of see these. When you see a stretch mark, what are you seeing, though? Like, what is that?
The surface skin separating...
Like sort of melted
like
cheese?
Like an earthquake, like cracks in the
like
earth.
Like Mount St. Helens.
This is getting us no close. This is exactly...
I'm totally making this up. I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying. This is what happened with the breastfeeding thing. There's like three people in a room who have no experience with children trying to...
Please stop talking about breastfeeding.
This is like three blind men trying to talk about a Monet. There's just... We end up just making crap up here. All right. Well, whatever. Anyway, so... But we should... Okay.
So, a friend says she wants to dance her way back into shape by hiring a studio. It's more fun than the gym. Others claim Britney Spears will be never hot again. Or will never be hot again. In the spirit of covering all ends, Australia's NW Magazine is reporting that Britney Spears has turned to a dangerous diet in an attempt to drop weight. The toxic singer has been living on wine, cigarettes, and diet pills. Sources spilling to NW fear for Britney, who is rumored to also be breastfeeding her newborn. The stress of having...
Yeah, that's the way to keep that figure intact.
The stress of having three babies, yes, counting Kevin Federline, is probably not a good idea on the wine, cigarette, and diet pills.
Excellent. No, the body's gone forever, Britney. Look in your rearview mirror. Oh, there's your youth and hotness going away. All right, there you go. There's your Britney watch from Monday right here on the radio.
but there's something I want you to have.
Problem is this.
Fantastic. All right. Hello, sir. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Basically, the stretch market scar tissue.
All right. So it's because the skin is overtaxed?
It's too fast. Yeah, basically.
So it stretches.
There's a certain amount of elasticity. If you go beyond that, then it like damages the skin and you get a scar.
All right. So it's basically you're just. So there's no way. There's no cream that's going to get rid of that. You get rid of that by wearing a shirt.
You know, you get a big facial scar. You're pretty much stuck with that for life.
Yeah.
You know, same idea.
All right. Okay, great. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right, there you go. That's Ethan. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan has split and got back together with Harry Martin. The breakup that lasted less than 24 hours happened after he reportedly dumped the Mean Girls actress after dinner at the lavish Chateau Marmont in Hollywood Thursday night. A source tells People magazine she ran in, sat with the group, put down her cell phone, and cried to all her friends. The group looked very concerned and listened tentatively in what she was saying. A friend of Harry's revealed she is too much drama. Lindsay has cut down on partying, but with her, it's all relative. Harry is sober. It wasn't the partying that broke them up. Harry's more low-key and not into the same stuff she's into. However, a source close to Lindsay have denied the pair split at all. The source insists no one dumped anyone. You don't dump people when you're 20 and 25. You have a mature relationship, and you take a break when you see what happens.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Lindsay upset Harry earlier this month by flirting all evening with a DJ at a party at a swanky English manor. Lindsay left a Hard Rock air Harry fuming after spending the entire night glued to Sam Young. One guest said she was all over him like a rash.
That's exactly how you want it described, too. All right.
There's a great new rumor about Lindsay Lohan's stylist, too, who's a stylist to, like, Misha Barton and, like, all those really
she's
super
skinny. She's a meth dealer.
She's a crystal meth dealer.
Yeah.
And that she got all of those. Oh, and Nicole Richie. She's Nicole Richie's stylist as well. And that she, this woman, Zoe, I can't remember her last name. Zoe something. Yeah, that she's gotten them all hooked on crystal meth.
That would explain
their stylist and meth
so much, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What do we got? Rick, about dancing. This topic is the reason I still don't know how and don't care to know how to dance to this day. You ask the first girl to dance, she rejects you, so you move on to choice number two, who also rejects you because she wasn't choice number one, and so on. Also, you can't go up to a group of girls and ask them all at once if any of them want to dance. Oh, man. Oh, I've seen that happen, too, and that's just pathetic. That's when a guy comes, would any of you like to dance with me? Boys, you talk about putting on a cologne that's called desperation. Also, let's see, they'll all say no because you didn't ask them individually. Also, if by some stroke of luck you do get a girl to say yes, then you have to dance, which means it looks like you're having some sort of seizure induced by a strobe light. Mm-hmm. Luckily for me, I'm married. That's the thing is that once you're married, you just don't have to worry about that again. That's really the best thing about being married. And it sounds obvious that the best thing about being married is that you're no longer single. That's really what it is. That's it. So, all right, let's see. This is, all right, should I get, hey, did we have Peter Carlin at some point? Wasn't it like 2:30 we were supposed to have him? Should see, let's see what his deal is. Let's see, Jay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I was just calling to let you know that you actually can sort of remove the stretch mark with a laser procedure, a cosmetic laser procedure, similar to the way they remove tattoos, I believe. Like, the same person that you could get a tattoo removal from, you could have your stretch marks removed. They kind of do something to blend them that's pretty gross. But
anything that has to, that involves lasering large sections of your body away.
Burning fat people, lasers, no.
Yeah, no, it seems like a bad scene. All right, thank you, Jay.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right, there you go, thank you. Okay, well, we'll do one later on here. We'll do a couple more headlines. In the meantime, wait, let me see if I can find a, hold on. Well, we'll just do this with a... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Oregonian, our good friend, TV critic, Peter Carlin. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Hey, by the way, I'm reading your...
This sounds perky today.
I'm reading your book.
Oh, wow.
I am reading Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. So I want you to know that, and so I will be giving you my my full thoughts on this the next time we speak.
Unvarnished, I hope.
No, it's great. I gotta say, I do like it a lot, actually. Although it's funny, because you have... Hey, your writing style is just so steeped in like in gloomy foreshadowing, though. I don't mean that as a criticism, but it's just from page one, you can just like, even if you did not know how Brian Wilson's life sort of unraveled, you can just smell the trouble coming from page one, because you talk about how his family sort of, you know, moving westward, you know, through the generations, and you know, and how Murray Wilson's dad was just a bastard to begin with too, and so. And let me ask you this, and I know we've talked about this before, but so did when you interviewed Brian Wilson, did he? I mean, to what extent did he ever confirm or dispute any of the stuff that was contained in that alleged autobiography that came out in 91?
Aspects of it? Well, you know, aspects of it were real because they were lifted from other people's books.
Right.
Or so it seemed. And then other things, there were some other, you know, I mean, he's squirrely. He doesn't confirm or deny anything when it comes to that sort of stuff. It's sort of moment to moment.
Is that because he doesn't want to be pinned down, or because he just honestly doesn't remember a lot of it? Do you get the sense that Brian has just willfully blocked out a lot of stuff?
Willfully is a key word there. I think he has an amazing recall for certain things. He's one of these guys that never, ever forgets a telephone number.
Right.
So that's kind of phenomenal. But then he also, there are certain things you ask him about, and he's just clueless. And I don't know to what extent that's just a function of what his memory's like, or whether he's just, like, plain possum.
Because you mentioned, I think you mentioned the story of his dad, which I've heard for years, the story of his dad inducing his hearing loss by whacking him with a 2x4 or whatever. I think you said that according to just what day it is when you ask him, he'll either confirm or deny. Or didn't his mother, didn't Audrey said it was some sort of congenital defect?
Yeah.
That he had.
Later she seemed to believe it had to do with a neighbor kid whacking him on the ear.
Boy, man, I've seen a couple interviews with her back when she was alive, and it's just, you talk about a woman Brian Wilson's mother, Audrey Wilson, seems very much like just the stereotypical, just the classic wife and mother who just did not wish to see or to acknowledge everything that was kind of obviously going on in her house.
Mm.
And, I think
she was a spunky lady, though. If you checked her out, like back in the 70s and stuff, I remember seeing interviews with her. She was bright eyed and full of vim and just seemed like a ball of fire. So I don't know, but that was after Murray died, so maybe she was
no longer fearing for her life.
Emancipated.
I actually got a few people who emailed all with the same question, which is they asked if Mike Love was as big a jerk in real life as he is depicted as being in the media. In your experience.
Well, he's always nice to me, but that's not saying anything.
Well, I know a lot of people who are nice, but you can just smell the jerk all over him.
He kind of can't help himself.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are, I mean, you meet people, sometimes they're nice, but it's a real brittle surface politeness, and underneath you can just sense that they're just like a colossal a-hole. And I mean, I think that's what I have this sort of belief. People say that television is deceptive and that the camera lies, but I have this belief, and I have for a long time, that the camera actually doesn't lie. That when somebody's
people lie.
Yeah, well, but it's that when you're on when you see somebody interviewed on television, I believe that a lot of times you get a really accurate sense of a person by watching them be interviewed.
Yeah, but that's always, I mean, but then you got to take it to some extent with a grain of salt, because that's mediated through editing and all sorts of other things. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you can, if you're watching analytically, you can read people pretty well when you're watching them talk and seeing how their eyes move and that kind of stuff, which is why all those weaselly poker player guys always wear those big Yoko Ono glasses.
Totally. Can I just tell you a brief anecdote? I was at a poker game this weekend, actually, and it was that where I lost
your shirt again.
No, what's that?
You lost your shirt again.
Well, I was gonna. Normally, I lose to my wife, and so she's a much better card player than I am, and so normally I have the emasculation of sitting across the table from my wife, who always just screws me somehow,
mm-hmm.
and will just, you know, reach over with that huge iron arm and just drag my chips in. So not only did she outlast me this weekend, but then I was knocked out by an 11-year-old who then went on to be the victor of the at the table. And nobody, you know, the thing is, when you're playing poker with an 11-year-old, he was there, he was the son of one of the other players. And initially, you're sort of, you know, you're not really playing full strength against him because, you know, but then you start to realize that it's just like playing an 11-year-old at chess. You know, there are kids that come in and they're just going to school you.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually people started really playing hard against this kid, and he just knocked everybody out one by one. You want to talk about a thing that'll make you go home and stare into the mirror with some whiskey in your hand and think long and hard about your skills as a man.
Yeah.
Just losing anything to an 11-year-old.
How much did the kid win by the end of it?
$100. That was the first prize was $100.
That's a lot of money for an 11-year-old.
I mean, yeah, because it was like a 20 buck buy-in for like, you know, like eight different people. But I mean, it's just, there's really no price on the shame you feel losing in a poker game to an 11-year-old.
And then you can't get into like a post-game kick-ass with him accusing him of cheating.
Totally, you can't throw down in the alley.
Yeah, exactly. Bust his teeth.
Speaking of the media, I got two things I want to ask you about. Speaking of the media and how it's depicted, first thing, let's talk about Studio 60.
Yeah.
I have not seen the second episode, but it airs tonight. The word that I've heard from some people who have seen it is that tonight's episode is even better than the pilot.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. Why haven't you seen the second episode
yet? Because you didn't give it to me.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Did I not?
You gave me the pilot, and that was it.
Well, that was the early episode.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. They sent out a second DVD that had two episodes on
it. Well, thanks. Thanks for hooking me up.
Oh, well, I didn't have that one available at the time, because I hadn't seen it my own self.
All right. Okay. So, but it's available to me now.
Yeah, but as if you would need it.
No, but if you've got episodes 2 and 3...
I don't have 3. I'm sorry. Okay. At this point, I'm reduced to being a civilian like everybody else. I'm just a guy watching it on TV.
All right. Well, fine. Well, in any event, so I have not seen tonight's episode.
All right. It's good. It's
and
really good.
I heard... Oh, God. I don't even want to know. Should I ask the question, Sarah?
About what?
About the finale of tonight's episode.
Oh, I don't really want to know.
Do we want to know?
No.
We don't want to know,
but
do
we're one episode into it.
Okay. Here's the thing. We are going to... I'll tell you what our suspicion is, but I don't want to know if I'm right or wrong.
All right.
Our suspicion is...
Oh, you're totally right.
That the foreshadowing last week... combined with Aaron Sorkin's love for just hitting you in the face with the big brass knuckles, you know, of heavy-handed lecturing, which I love.
Yeah.
That leads us to believe that tonight's episode climaxes with the Crazy Christian sketch.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. That's our suspicion. I don't want to know.
Okay.
That's our suspicion, and I guess we can...
harbor that suspicion as long and as hard as you can.
All right, so we'll recap it. Speaking of things and how they're depicted by the media, did you see Clinton on Fox this weekend?
No, but I read all about it.
Oh, man, it was fantastic. It was so great.
He unloaded on old Chris Wallace.
On Chris Wallace, who's... And I don't know if you've seen it, but when you see it, man, it's on YouTube. But, I mean, it's exactly as Clinton says. That Chris Wallace is there with a smug little bastard smirk on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And a smirk that just sort of says, like, hit me with a brick. And Clinton... The thing that nobody has pointed out, and which I believe to be true, speaking of Sorkin and the West Wing and sort of political machinations, what seems so clear to me when you watch this Clinton on Fox thing, because I don't know if you're going to be mentioning it, if you're going to be writing about it at all, but my thought on it is that, I mean, if you're Bill Clinton, who is, of course, the biggest, with the possible exception of Hillary, is the single most potent boogeyman to the right,
mm-hmm.
when you go onto Fox, you've got to know what's going to happen. So... It seems very, as the British would say, patently obvious to me.
Yeah.
That Clinton went on Fox knowing...
Spoiling for a fight.
Yeah, knowing that they would give him the opportunity to just unload, which...
Well, you know, my sense was that he was responding mostly... This is just from reading the descriptions, and I got to go back and watch the actual show itself, which I'm meaning to do. But my sense was that he was responding mostly to the ABC docutainment.
The Road to 9/11.
The Path or whatever it was. Where, you know, I mean, they just... And I think what he was trying to do was to come up with a... I mean, I suspected or I wondered whether he was trying to uncork a very dramatic, you know, camera-ready reaction to that. That he was responding to the fictionalization of his administration. And so he figured that the only way to you know... change the narrative was to throw down in a big way, because this you know, the fictionalization of history is you know, via television is old news. I mean, that happens all the time.
Sure.
And I think he just wasn't, he was planning to not sit still, and
you figure he didn't have the chance to talk about it when it was happening, and so this was
his way of creating the kind of ink that was going to move the needle back a tick or two. You know, to the extent that it had been moved by that movie.
Maybe. I got to wonder, though, if part of him, is, you know, if this is part of the setting up Hillary for her eventual run. That you know, that he knows that every time he does... Because, look, I mean, let's be honest. The Democrats are just such spineless, you know, weasels, all of them. I mean, they just have no aggression to them at all. There's just no alpha there, with the exception of somebody like Howard Dean or Bill Clinton himself. And my thought is that if he wanted a big, huge softball, mm-hmm. I mean, he had to know that he would get the chance to do it there. And, of course, all of that, you know, when he does something like that and smacks down a guy on Fox, and people responded so positively to it, everybody on the left, and all of that, of course, accrues to Hillary as well. So that was my theory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it was Bill Clinton, it was very much a chess move on his part. That it was a way to generate some sort of backhanded momentum behind Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I always get the sense that whatever he's up to is about seven steps ahead of where, you know, what I can figure in my
right.
own mind. I mean,
right.
if you read, there was a really interesting profile of him in the New Yorker last week or 2 weeks ago by David Remnick, which just tracked his... You know, his, you know, a recent trip he took to Africa and just kind of used that to describe his post, presidency and what he's been up to and what he's been trying to do and what his frustrations are and that kind of stuff. And, you just get the sense that, I mean, this guy, you know, he's voracious in terms of his appetite for information and for doing stuff and keeping busy. I mean, he's just in constant motion, constantly thinking.
Well, I mean,
love him or hate him. I mean, I think you just can't. You can't get around the fact that he's just extraordinarily smart.
Well, and I think he's very much, he's a lot like the left's Nixon. In other words, that he just, without politics, he just would cease to exist. I mean, there would be no Bill Clinton. I mean, that is the soul of his existence.
Yeah.
And you're right when he said he's got to be in constant motion, because if he's not, as they said about Nixon, if he's not this Clinton, then he's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I agree with you on that. And it's very, also he was on... He was on The Daily Show. This last week on The Daily Show, they had a whole lot of really great, heavy-hitting just political guests and just some guys that like Daniel Ellsberg and just guys that you never would have expected them to have on. And they had Clinton on, and I mean, the crowd response to him, and obviously that's in New York, you know, so I mean, that's kind of, you know, the heart of American liberalism right there. But I mean, when, you know, John Stewart says former, you know, president of Bill Clinton, and I mean, just the crowd response to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that the Vox Populi has just, I don't care what anybody tries to paint him as. I mean, I firmly believe that the bulk of this country loves that guy and always will.
Yeah.
And no amount of attempted demonization by anybody is going to change that. I mean, I really honestly believe that the vast majority of this country adores Bill Clinton and always has, always will.
And I think Al Gore learned that the hard way by distancing himself from him so severely in 2000.
Totally.
And he maybe taken a slightly different course, but he would have gotten that extra two dozen votes or whatever it took.
I would say, man, if the people could vote Clinton in again right now, they would, which is the biggest single, that's the biggest single element of momentum behind Hillary Clinton. Is it, of course, a backhanded way to elect Bill Clinton again.
Sure.
So,
sure.
That's right. We've got it all figured out, my friend.
There was an interesting, did you see that documentary, Wordplay, about people who are super duper into crossword puzzles?
I'm thinking of the Scrabble one.
Yeah, no, the Wordplay one was fantastic.
It's at the Laurelhurst right now, actually. Yeah,
really? Oh, everyone should run out and see it. But one of the cool parts is toward the end, they interview a bunch of different celebs who are super into crossword puzzles, and there's like John Stewart is a huge crossword puzzle guy, and the Indigo Girls apparently, and of course Bill Clinton, and they all have really sort of interesting things to say about crossword puzzles and the appeal and why they do it and how they do it. But toward the very end, the filmmaker asks each person, do they use a pen or do they use a pencil?
Right.
When they do it, and all of them use, most of them seem to be using pens. But then you get to Clinton. He doesn't even ask the question. You just see Clinton sits back, pulls down the newspaper, uncorks this massive blue felt tip pen. I mean, it's not just any pen. It's like you can't even cross it out. You know? He's so sure of himself and just starts whipping them off. I mean, just like that, that, that. I mean, just filling the whole thing in, just like it's being transcribed, like he's transcribing somebody else talking.
That is fantastic.
And anyway, I thought that was...
I dig that guy.
Yeah.
All right. Anything good on tonight that I ought to be watching other than Studio 60?
We got your Studio 60. You know, I was actually super impressed. It's not on tonight, but it's on tomorrow with Ted Danson's new sitcom.
Oh, yeah. You wrote about that. You
Help
said
Me
that.
Help You, which, you know, I thought, yeah, stupid, whatever. And then I watched it. Watched the whole thing plus the second episode, and I thought, you know, this is really funny.
Help Me Help You.
Yeah, and it's on one of the big networks. It's on TV.
I am all Help Me Help You. Help Me Help You. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, my friend, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen, read him in the Oregonian and online at OregonLive.com. Talk to you next week, man.
Bye bye.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Back after this, I'll play a little bit of this here. This is a new one from Weird Al Yankovic. Off straight, this is in honor of Peter Carlin, by the way. This is what Weird Al Yankovic would call a style parody. This is called Pancreas on the Rick Emerson Show. What do you know? That new Weird Al Yankovic album comes out tomorrow, kids. It's a double disc. Disc one, of course, is this. I didn't even get a chance to play the masterwork. I didn't even get a chance to play. And I don't even know that I have the guts to play it all on the air. Well, maybe tomorrow. Anyway, but it has that Pancreas, which is clearly sort of one of his style parodies, sort of a Pet Sounds kind of a thing. It's got White and Nerdy, which is the lead single. It's got a fantastic cut called Don't Download This Song at Home. Straight Out of Linwood, the second disc is a DVD. It's got 8 videos, behind the scenes, a documentary, all of that. The new Weird Al Yankovic, it comes out tomorrow, kids. They don't just have you stuff, they got new stuff as well. Go see them, 5 locations in Portland, 1 near you. I feel like a tool, actually. They sent me the new release list for this week, and then I've lost it. They sent it to me, and I just don't have it. I don't know where it is. So there's things coming out tomorrow. I don't know what they might be, but they're out there. And so forth. Anyway, they buy, they sell, they trade. One of the few places right now that gives you cash in hand. You trade in your CDs and DVDs. Most places only give you credit. You can get cash at CD Game Exchange. Go see them. 5 locations. 1 near you. CD Game Exchange.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Onion News. Only on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
The FDA says not even green tea can help you now. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An FDA report released today describes an outlook so dire for you and your central nervous system that not even the healing properties of green tea will save you from a horrible lingering death. The report goes on to say that despite your consumption of gallon after gallon of the antioxidant-rich beverage, you are doomed. Dr. Paula Mirren.
If you had started sooner and maybe did some yoga, it could have prevented your organs from liquefying.
Dr. Mirren added that while green tea will fail you at this late stage, antibiotic drugs will fix you up in no time. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
The Onion Radio News, mornings
and afternoons from AM 970, Solid State Radio.
When it comes to helping people and communities thrive, there is an old way.
Food stamps.
And there is United Way.
Asset development.
Financial literacy program.
Shoulders to lean on.
Transportation and health care access.
Home ownership incentive.
Right here in your backyard and across the country, United Way is changing the way. From quick fixes to real lasting change. That's not the old way. That's United Way. And that's what matters.
Hey, this is Rick Emerson, and it's always great when we can talk about a real Portland business, you know, like EcoPDX. Now, EcoPDX sells beautiful furniture made from salvaged wood. You also hear this called entombed wood sometimes. And it's wood that's been preserved underground after a natural event, like an earthquake or a volcano. It basically, it seals it underground for hundreds of years. Then they take it out and they make it piece by piece into this amazing furniture. It's all done in Java, Indonesia, by a fair trade Portland-owned company. So the bottom line is, if you want furniture that's beautiful and classic, not the same old thing, quit buying all that press board, get out of the Pearl, and go see EcoPDX. They're located on Interstate right down the street from the Rose Garden, and they're on the Yellow Max line in the growing Russell District. Or you can find them online, EcoPDX.com, ECOPDX.com, or call 503-287-8181. Their slogan is quality, sustainability, and fair trade. In short, they give a damn. So go see them, EcoPDX.
And now, Bill, with the weather.
Thanks, Frank. It's going to be sunny whenever anybody's out running an errand or playing ball, and it will only rain when you're inside your house or at the mall. Back to you, Frank.
If only the weather cooperated a little more with your schedule. Fortunately, Walgreens has the most drive-through pharmacies in America. So when the weather's bad, it's late at night, or you're short on time, you can pick up your prescription and be on your way. Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
Hey, this is Rick Emerson, and don't forget, the Great American Poker Tour is letting you play free No Limit Texas Hold'em at your favorite bar, your favorite restaurant, 6 nights a week. And then most Saturday and Sunday afternoons, too. Now, it's free, and it's a great way to keep your poker skills razor sharp. And there's over 6,500 players in the Portland area, so you know you're always going to get a challenge. Now, this course is presented to you by Wild Bills. They're Portland's poker headquarters. They got everything you need there. They got the clay poker chips, the supplies, the tables. So do yourself a favor. Come on out and try your hand at Texas Hold'em with the Great American Poker Tour. And it's free, and you can sign up right now at greatamericanpokertour.com. GreatAmericanPokerTour.com. Start playing tonight. There's no cost to play. Go to GreatAmericanPokerTour.com and find a location near you. A free, no-limit Texas Hold'em at your favorite bar, your favorite restaurant, the Great American Poker Tour, brought to you by Wild Bills and presented by Crown Royal. Sign up today. GreatAmericanPokerTour.com. Start playing tonight.
Coming up at 3, it's the Tom Likas Show. Now, back to Rick on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. I think we've done everything today. I think we've gotten to it all.
I don't know. Is Chris on the phone?
Probably not. Let's see. Rick, about stretch marks. They're caused by the quick stretching of skin. Anyone can get them. If men pack on the pounds, they can get them. I dated a girl in high school who went from a B cup to a double D cup within a year. Ah, damn. She had stretch marks at the base of her bosoms. So on the plus side, big cans. On the downside, they were hideous to look at. Okay. Let's see here. Let me find the with the whole. Damn it.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. On his deathbed, mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy.
How are you doing?
Oh, well medicated.
Okay. What's happening in the background there?
Oh, it's my son. He woke up from his nap, so no more nap time for me.
I see. So your nap time is over as well.
Yes, yes. Here's what I caught from the show. I caught almost everything. Weird Al, Peter Carlin, the Brittany Watts, Clyde Lewis, and Lisa Goddard. I'm going to go on a lark and say that you probably didn't get the Weekend Geek.
I did.
You did get it?
I didn't.
I didn't hear it. So, excellent. You got everything. So I put you at 57.
All right. Excellent. Fantastic.
And if I'm still alive tomorrow, I'll call you at 11.
Okay. Yeah, you sound like you're on the downward slide of this thing.
I don't know, man. It's this thing is this, and of course, just like 2 minutes before I called you, who calls me? My work.
Yeah.
You here tomorrow?
Yeah, no, and you got kids too, and kids are just like little germ farms.
Yeah, well, we all got it at one point or another, and I held out. I was the last one.
All right, well, get better, my friend.
Oh, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. This is Mailman Chris. Boy, he does not sound happy. All right, that's Mailman Chris. He sounds like he's having a bad, bad time. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, I just called to tell you I got one of those while you were out. Have you ever seen that show that on TLC?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the official TV show, but my wife installed a stripper pole over the weekend for my bar upstairs in the house with lights and everything.
Wait, who did?
Your wife installed a stripper
pole? I was gone for the weekend. For
First
my
of all, you have a bar upstairs in your house?
Yeah.
Wet bar or dry bar?
Wet bar.
That's pretty cool. All right, and so your wife installed a stripper pole?
Yeah.
On the bar next to
the bar. Oh, it's my birthday present.
Sarah, how do you feel about that?
I don't know.
Is this for your wife to use?
Well, I hope not.
I'm
sure it'll be for her, you know, for her use. She likes those Carmen Electra dance things, so.
Okay, but just because we're pals, I agree not to promise to. I won't tell your wife your response was, I hope not, or when I asked whether she was going to be using that.
I want some, you know. Some fresh strippers, you know? So.
This is a very strange phone call.
You want some fresh strippers?
Yeah. Like, you know. Sure, I don't want to see my wife naked. Come on.
What a strange way to end the show. You know, here's the thing, and this really is more for you than for me, Dan. Oh, we're losing your call.
Hello?
Is it raining? Oh, Dan, I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right, there you go.
So is his wife a stripper? Because he says he wants to see fresh strippers.
I felt like he had waded too deeply into that as it was. And really the best thing for all of us was just to pull the cord on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
That's a man with too many strippers in his life if he needs a fresh
one. These strippers are stale. All right. So don't forget, coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we will get to the Week in Geek tomorrow. I may play the new Weird Al Masterwork tomorrow. It really is just off the charts brilliant, and we'll have more of the gossip monging. Also, Dennis Pitzenbarger will be here from the Portland Tribune, and I didn't get to this thing. I didn't tease it today, but this thing on Friday, I didn't get to this. I didn't get to this teen slang thing. So I'll do my best to get to that. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it because we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. By the way, in case you're not aware of this, we are doing a four-hour show these days. And Scotty pointed out there's certain folks who are not up to speed on that fact. Four-hour show. Like us up in about 45 seconds. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the news from Tim Riley, Scotty J is more than an intern and the manager of the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN correspondents Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com, and everything else. Oh, and Peter Carlin for the Oregonian as well. See you all tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thank you for listening. Like us next. Be safe. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. See you tomorrow at 11. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening. You're listening to AM 970. KCMD AM Portland. Solid State Radio. And now, the Tom Likas Show. On AM 970. Solid State Radio.
From Los Angeles, it's the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, God.
And now, here he is, Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. It's a different kind of a radio talk program.